Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is "And the Sun Rose and Shines," written and read now by Chiamaka Enyi Amadi.
October 1st, 1960. A country coming into itself, trying to rise with the sun, with nothing but a man-made horizon to aspire to. With freedom in its sights, to grapple with a chain-choked past, a rotting corpse clothed in brutal regality. A castle in ruins is still a castle, still an unfit residence for a queen, still a site of history unravelling in a whirlpool of madness and unshakable majesty. She is majesty. She is a nation naming herself, making herself, taming herself in an attempt to remain whole, to encompass every sweet God-given man-made thing, in an attempt to look upon her burning cities and not be discouraged, and not drown in a sea of despair that could overwhelm the foundations of ancient empires.
And we're delighted now to have Chiamaka in studio with us. Chiamaka, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Chiamaka, tell us a little bit about this poem.
I suppose this poem for me is evidence that, you know, I'm engaging with my country, because like when you kind of reached out to me asking me to write a poem to mark 900 Independence Day, kind of went rummaging in my locker of poems, as you put it, and I literally found nothing, and that kind of shocked me, I think, and it kind of worried me to an extent, because like obviously I'm a very proud Nigerian, like I am an immigrant, but I have very strong ties to my country, and I come from a very like political family. Like we're fiercely political. Like you cannot come for dinner and not like dive into the Syrian war or like Brexit. Like,
oh, global politics as well. Yeah, Irish politics, yeah, Nigerian
Irish politics,
whatever.
Like everything. Because like Ireland and Nigeria share a very similar like history. So it's just like we cover everything, and it's embarrassing, but it's fun.
No, I think yeah, you'd fit right at home at many Irish dinner tables. I think, and like the poem as well is there's some great symbols and great images of empires, both foreign and domestic. You're kind of harking back to the Nigerian past, because obviously Africa is an ancient continent with ancient cultural traditions, and just because the colonialists arrived with a ruler to carve up an entire continent for themselves doesn't delete any of that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's like, talk us through some of the imagery. Some of it is really wonderful. A rotten corpse clothed in brutal regality. That feels like a definite reference to Britain.
Oh, it certainly is.
Yeah,
I have a very love-hate relationship with Britain, because like my family is incredibly like Anglophilic. My father, he also did an English degree, and that made me do an English degree as well. Yeah. And I love Charles Dickens. I love, you know, H.G. Wells. Like, I grew up on the classics. I was like fed on classics.
But
at the same time, I'm aware of just how empire and destruction are synonymous, and how a lot of that literature, actually the way it painted my people and painted me, is not the way I would ever, you know, paint myself. So it's like I consume that, but I have to be aware that it's in a lot of ways it's just lies.
Yeah.
So you can enjoy it aesthetically, but you should never ever kind of buy into, because it's basically brainwashing. It's whitewashing, which is brainwashing. Because if you can't see your real self in literature, then do you exist? You know, it's just erasure entirely.
Did you only start, did you have an inkling of those feelings before you went to college, or was it only when you went to college and you started engaging with all the post-colonial criticism and, you know, guys like Chinua Achebe?
As I said, from the age of 6, my holidays were literally just books. Books and books. Like, I read, like, when I read Achebe, I also had to read Yeats. And Yeats was very much, like, basically kissing Britain's arse, like, a lot of the time. Like, let's be honest,
West
he really
Brit,
was.
West Brit. Yeah, a lot of people still call him a West Brit in Ireland, yeah.
Like, I love the guy, but
He's, oh, genius. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It always goes hand in hand because, like, Things Fall Apart, which is, like, one of the biggest, like, African yeah. novels, like, that line comes from a Yeats poem. You know, Things Fall Apart, the center cannot hold, may anarchist listens upon the world. Like, those three lines, it's basically Achebed took those three lines and he made a whole book about it, but in an African context. So it's like, I feel like I live in both worlds. I live in a world of Achebed and I live in a world of Yeats or any other, like, British
yeah,
author.
Yeah. And there is that sense of conflict that you're talking about where you're between both poles. You're between the kind of the Anglophilic tradition of yeah. reading Jane Austen and so on. But then this, you know, your obvious national pride, as you know, we're all entitled to wherever you're from. You're entitled yeah. to be proud of where you're from. And I think you capture that quite well in the poem, because the references to, you know, a rotten corpse clothed in brutal regality, burning cities, the references to both Nigerian's ancient past, but also England's ancient past. But then there's a sense that it's, you know, it's like that great Heaney poem, and since it's all imagined anyway, there's this sense that it's a little bit arbitrary anyway. It's a man-made horizon, you know?
It is a man-made horizon, yeah. And I think, just to bring it back to the Civil War, like, I am a Biafran, like, because I'm from Eastern Nigeria. Okay. I'm Igbo. So, like, the Civil War was basically a genocide, like, conspiracy theory alert. But it was.
It was the North and the West invaded the
East. Yeah, invaded the East. East, yeah, and supported by the British government. So they basically just, like, blockade a very small section of Nigeria and starved millions of children to death. And then expected that yeah. we would just continue on as if nothing had happened. But it's like, no, you cannot continue on. You just cannot. When I wrote this poem, my parents put a lot of money into educating me in British education. You know, they put a lot of money into private school, making sure that I got, like, a British standard education. So it's like, empire has two faces. It has the face of, you know, a gun and an armor and, you know, the force, the firm hand, but also has a smiling face, like a very prim and proper, like, English woman, you know, the classic English rose. And it's like, you want to aspire to be that. So it's like, my parents, even though they're very well educated and aware of, like, the horrors that the British administration administered on Nigeria, they still want their children to grow up to imitate the oppressors, essentially, because oppressors have power, and you want your children to have power in a world that demands for you to have power.
I'm just thinking, I mean, obviously, coming from being an emigrant and living in a country that's kind of doesn't feel like your own, but you also have the cultural inheritance from being, you know, raised on a diet of classical English text. But then, I mean, even within this poem, you know, you're engaging with your own national heritage, your own cultural heritage. Is there a cultural inheritance from your own country, from Nigeria? Is there a cultural inheritance that you've imbibed living in Ireland and studying in UCD, you know, the college that James Joyce went to?
Joyce.
You roll your eyes.
This year will mark, like, me having lived half my life in Nigeria and half my life in Ireland. And it's only this year that I've actually felt, like, Irish. Proper Irish. And it took 9 years. 9 years of homesickness and nostalgia and just feeling like I don't belong here. Even though, like, a lot of my friends are here and I have family here. But it took me going back to Nigeria and people asking me, when are you going to go home? And I'm like, but I'm home.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm with you guys. But they're like, no, but when are you really going to go back home? And so coming back here, I was like, well, I guess they've decided for me that this is my home. And so it's kind of like, you have to accept that, you have to just, like, something inside of you has to settle. Like, the thing that I don't know, makes you feel restless at night and makes you want to, like, I don't know. Just
write?
Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing that makes you want to write. Yeah. That's settled.
That's an interesting idea when you said, you know, you went back to Nigeria and people said, when are you going home? Do you think home is a decision that's not in your hands?
That's a very interesting question. And I would say, at this point in my life, yes.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel like I chose it. I feel like it chose me.
Look, Tiamac, it's been a real pleasure having you. And as well, thank you very much. I know you wrote this poem, especially for the series Poem of the Week. So a special thanks for that as well.
No, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Chiamaka Enyimadi is originally from Nigeria, but has lived in Ireland since she was 10 years old. A writer of both prose and poetry, she's currently studying English and philosophy in UCD. We can't forget that while this series celebrates poetry, we're also using poetry as a medium to celebrate important dates in our calendar. Modern-day Nigeria has been the site of numerous kingdoms and tribal states over the millennia, but the modern state originated from 19th century British colonial rule, and it wasn't until 1960 that Nigeria achieved formal independence. However, much like ourselves, independence was quickly followed by civil war, and 1967 saw Nigeria plunge into a terrible conflict that would last 3 years. Alternating between democratically elected governments and military dictatorships since, Nigeria achieved a stable democracy in 1999, with the 2011 presidential elections considered the first to be reasonably free and fair. Nigeria is by far the most populous country in Africa, with 190 million inhabitants, as well as having one of the largest populations of youth in the world. And although South Africa is often called a rainbow nation, Nigeria is truly a multinational state, as it is inhabited by over 500 ethnic groups. Today, there are roughly 20,000 Nigerian nationals living in Ireland. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
Nearcast.
Nearcast, your community podcast network. Listen to podcasts about society, people, poetry, board games and many other topics. Subscribe to a programme today. Learn more at nearcast.ie and find out how you can get involved.